Hello, everyone, and welcome to our meeting about communication, specifically our e-journal and what is the future of our e-journal. And I'm just so happy everybody's here, so thank you. If you are watching this and want to say hello, say anything, let us know that you're here. We will be watching the Twitter hashtag Creating the Future. If you post anywhere else, we're not going to see it because we can only pay attention to one place at a time. So if you are tweeting, please tweet to the hashtag. Sorry, if you are watching, please tweet to the hashtag Creating the Future. And we will be watching for that. And as I mentioned earlier, I haven't gotten an indication from anyone that they are intending to watch and tweet, but we never know. So it is really, really nice to have all of you with us. What I thought we would do to start out, we always start by getting to know each other a little bit, spending a little bit of time touching base as humans. And what I thought we might do is I will introduce each of you to whatever I know about you. And for some, it is a lot. And for some, it is very little. And then ask you to share something that is exciting or awesome in your life. So I will start with Joyce. I will start with you today. It is delightful to have Joyce here. Joyce is a fellow at Creating the Future and a practitioner of catalytic thinking and one of the wisest, deepest thinkers I know. And it is always a pleasure to have you in the room. And if you will just share where you're beaming in from. If you'd like to tell us the weather, if you would like not to tell us the weather, that's okay. Some people are lamenting, some people are celebrating. And then tell us something that is awesome and fun in your life.
Hi, thank you, Hildy, for those kind words. I'm Joyce Lee Ibarra. I'm joining from Honolulu, Hawaii. The weather is in the high 70s here, so that's why the tank top still in January. The thing that's awesome for me is since the pandemic started, we in my family have been taking turns choosing movies. So we've gotten through 40 odd movies over the past year. And we do a rotation. Unless it's something like really blatantly offensive, we don't have veto rights. We just have to watch whatever the other person chooses. But it's been a lot of fun. I've seen a lot of movies that I probably would not have seen otherwise, and just really enjoying that. And it's my turn to choose this week for Friday. So I'm still working on what I'm going to be choosing, but that's my awesome.
That is awesome. That is very awesome. Is any particular movie standing out to you that you're like, that one?
I would say, so I hadn't seen La La Land. We saw that. That was like a really wonderful, just light, beautiful movie. I really liked that one a lot.
Yeah, we definitely need fantasy these days. Definitely need fantasy. Ron Ballmer. Ron and I have known each other online for 137 years, I think.
Yeah.
And this is the first time that we are actually seeing each other in person, so or as close to in person. So that is, it is pretty wonderful. I have enjoyed our conversations over all of this time. And if you will tell us where you are beaming in from, and if you'd like, what the weather is, and something that's wonderful in your life these days.
Yeah, hi everyone. Beaming in from Halifax, Nova Scotia, and the weather here has been uncharacteristically warm, I would say, dangerously warm. Although most Nova Scotians like that, they don't particularly love shoveling snow. So, but I've just gotten back from a little 4-day mini vacation with three guy friends of mine. We go skiing every year. And this year with COVID, we did a really local little trip. It's only under 2 hours away, just a little hill that we ski. We only ski for a couple hours a day anyway, because we're old and we get tired easily. And then we cook and just sit around and enjoy each other's company. So that's always an awesome for me to have time to spend with them. So yeah, and Hildy incidentally has been sort of a mentor and guide for me for probably over 30 years as I've sat on different boards, and I've used your material pretty liberally and pretty successfully, I would say, most of the time, where people can be open enough to try some new things. And so thank you. It's been great.
That is just delightful. It has been fun watching your journey. And it is awesome to actually speak in real time to each other, which is just delightful. I am gonna bop over to Jill Conrath. Jill sort of reached out several months ago, took a couple of our classes online and reached out, which is always appreciated, to say, I would like to help. I'd like to be part of whatever you're doing, and I'd like to help. And your earnestness and willingness, your graciousness in wanting to share your life experience just touched me very, very, very much. So if you can just tell us where you are, and if you'd like to share the weather and something that's been fun or awesome in your life.
Hi, and this is my first time joining you guys, and I'm not in the field that you are, and so it's a little bit different to be here, but I am from Minneapolis, and if you think you had snow, we have snow too, and it's kind of it's a COVID winter, and nobody's going outside or doing anything around here, and everything's shut down right now, and we're doing as well as we can. And if you ask me what's good about it, I would say what's good is that I decided that it was time to take care of things. And so I just had surgery on one foot the other day, and I have to sit here with my leg above my heart right now. So I'm doing that. And next week I go in for surgery on the other foot, and I'm just taking care of things because there's nothing like a COVID winter to get things done that you couldn't get done otherwise. And by the way, and I'm getting myself ready for the next 30 years. So.
I love that. I heard a line in a movie yesterday. It was a rather crappy movie. It was one of those when you turn the TV on and it's what's on. You wait 5 minutes and you go, yeah, no, this isn't going to work. The line was, remember, we will never be as young as we are today. And I thought that was just brilliant. We will never again be as young as we are today, no matter what our age is. So I thought that was pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty awesome. Dimitri Petropoulos, I'm going to share over to you. And if you will share, we have a sense of where you are. But if you will share something that is awesome.
What's awesome, and this dovetails with what Hildy was talking about, was the snow. Yes, it snowed, and we have a little bit of a dusting that lasts for maybe at best a couple hours. But what happens is Tucson's surrounded by mountains, like 9,000 foot mountains, and they get covered with snow. And so it is absolutely gorgeous to go outside and just see these snow-covered mountains around the town. And we took a late afternoon COVID excursion yesterday, where we went to one of the national parks, has like a little canyon and whatnot, and took a little walk at sunset where you could see the snow on the mountains and all the beautiful desert vegetation, everything. So my awesome was being able to end a day like that was just great. So.
And it was, that could be my awesome too. It was delightful. Beatrice and I met when I was in Sarasota, Florida, going on like 2.5 years ago or so. You have since relocated, and during COVID you relocated and then relocated back. And it is just delightful to have you here. You all will see the beautiful spirit that Beatrice brings to every conversation. So it is always a pleasure to have you in the room. And if you could share where you are right now, which is different than where you were when I talked to you last, and a little bit of something that is wonderful and awesome in your life.
Thank you for those words, Hilde. It's always a pleasure to be part of. You cannot hear me?
You're unmuted. I cannot hear you.
Can you guys?
I can hear.
Sorry, Hilde, it's only you.
We heard you before.
Tree, can you hear me too?
I hear you.
Yes.
Okay,
Dmitry will work with you and make sure that you are up and running. So if you will type a cell phone into the chat box, Dmitry will work with you and make sure you got everything going. Mm-hmm. You got it. You got it. Wonderful. Amanda. Amanda is also celebrating snow here in Tucson, Arizona. we have met through several different things. Amanda works at my favorite community radio station, our community radio station, KXCI, which is always on in our car, and has been part of several of our meetings. And I just love the perspective that you bring all the time. So if you will tell us a little bit about what's been awesome in your life. Wait a minute. Beatrice, could you say something?
Hi, can you hear me now?
Okay, can hear you. That was operator error. That was me. Yeah.
No worries.
I am sorry. We'll go to Amanda and then we'll go back to you.
Okay, sounds good. Go ahead, Amanda.
All right. Then we'll go back to Beatrice. Welcome to the land of Zoom, everybody. Absolutely. Tell us where you are and tell us something awesome.
Yeah, as I was saying, thank you, Hilde, for those words. It's always a pleasure to be invited to these conversations and get to know such amazing people as they are in this room. It's so wonderful that we are all in different places, but we are together. And the story that you guys shared about Hilde and Ron, never meeting in person, but having these long relationship. It blows my mind how technology can make us so close. I am right now in BC. It's cloudy and it says that next weekend is going to be snowy. And talking about snow, I came back from Spain a couple of weeks ago where I had to stay one more week, yay me, because there was a big snowstorm happening in Madrid that didn't let me get into my flight. So that was one of those joys that I had, that I was able to spend one more week thanks to climate change and all of these extreme weather storms that we're having. And so now I'm just back here without my family, but happy to be moving into a new apartment and making it in my own space while still working from home.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Well, it is good to have you here. It is good to have you here. And you have come back to the US during a good time. During a good time. Sue Kindred. Sue and I have known each other online for several years. I'm not gonna, maybe five-ish, maybe seven, eight-ish, some place in there. And Sue is always, I love the fact that your emphasis is always on story and you're always weaving story in, and and that is just so delightful. And you've been in many of our different meetings in different venues, and I always appreciate your input. So tell us where you are and what the weather's like and a little bit of something that's awesome.
Thank you, Hilde, for those kind words. And yes, I don't know how long it's been, but a while. We'll go with a while. And I am just down the road from Beatrice in Richmond, Virginia. And I will say that my heart started pounding when you talked about Madrid. It's one of my favorite places in the world. It's lovely. And I haven't been in several years. So I am very much looking forward to the world opening up. And the weather outside is about like it is in DC, a little bit cold, possibility of snow in the morning. I love snow in the mountains. There is nothing better than snow in Tucson because it's just so beautiful and it's gone and it doesn't impact getting anywhere. it's the nice thing. So something good, there's so many good things to choose from the fact that, you know, starting when COVID hit, my 60 plus years of having very straight hair suddenly did this and got very curly. Nobody can explain it, but I'm learning to live with curly hair. And one of the lovely things that has happened is a friend here and a friend that lives in New Hampshire now, we have set up what we call soul shots. Every Thursday morning at 9 o'clock, we get on a Zoom call and it's, we call it our soul shot. And for an hour, we just support one another. And we would do that individually, but now we do it collectively. And it's just lovely. And I have other groups of friends that have come together in this Zoom environment. Like you were talking about with Ron, Hildy, about finally seeing him in person. I love being able to have a collective group of women come together who support one another and all the things that we deal with on a daily basis, from COVID to owning our own businesses to, you know, curly hair, whatever it is. And I love that we kind of nicknamed it Soul Shots because that's really what it is. So that's my happy.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Fun.
Wonderful. I will piggyback and do my awesome because I have a group of women friends. We have been getting together for drinks, I'm going to say 4 or 5 times a year for 30 years. And we obviously can't do that now. And so when COVID hit, we got together on Zoom and everybody immediately said, can we do this again next week? And every week since March, we've been doing the same thing, Sue. And it's
just lovely.
It is. Yeah. It's that connection. You know, we can't hug in person, mm-hmm. but we can do the next best thing, which is connect mm-hmm. however we can. So pretty wonderful. Scott Westcott. I got to meet Scott through his partner, Peter Panapeno, who I've known and worked closely with for a little bit over a decade. And Scott has been working with us on our communication strategy, and into which this fits directly. And actually, Scott and I were talking about our e-journal/newsletter and what needed to change and et cetera. And we sort of looked at each other and said, well, it's silly for the two of us to be the ones to say that. And so it's really been delightful getting to know you, getting to work with you. And if you can share where you are and a little bit about the weather and what's been awesome in your life.
Thanks. So I'm zooming in from Erie, Pennsylvania, where it's about 28 degrees, snow on the ground, cloudy, which it is just about every day around here. So my awesome is my son just graduated from Hamilton College last spring, and he's been an assistant tennis pro for the last few months, but he got a job as a journalist in Sweet Home, Oregon. So tomorrow morning, we are setting out from Erie, Pennsylvania, and drive into Sweet Home, Oregon. I decided to ride shotgun. So I got about 2,500 miles ahead. Should be in Oregon, right?
I love it. Where is Sweet Home?
Sweet Home is outside of Eugene, about 30 minutes away. So it should be an adventure.
Yes, it will.
Yes, absolutely. Wow.
Yes, it will. And you're right. He's driving and you're riding shotgun.
Well, you know, I'll drive a bit, but I'm making him the primary driver would be the hope. So, but we'll see. So I think we can do it in 3 days, 36 hours.
Wow.
The weather looks pretty good though. So
I was going to say, barring snow, you'll be good.
Right. Exactly.
You'll be good. You may be, you know, coming south to Texas to go back up.
Right. Yeah, we might have to do an avoidance route, but I think it's going to be okay.
That sounds awesome. That sounds wonderful. Elaine Capes, it is really delightful. Your name has popped up in and out of our email for such a long time in response to our newsletters, in response to the work that we've been doing. And it is just such a joy to put a face and to have conversation with you. I've really been looking forward to you being here. So if you could just share a little bit about where you are and something awesome.
Thank you, Hildy. I can't say what a joy it is to be here and to listen to all of you and be part of this conversation, first of all. So I am calling in from the metropolis of Rosemont, which sits north of Orangeville, which is in Dufferin County in Ontario, Canada. I use a beach background when I'm on Teams, and I would love to be skiing like Ron, but our ski hill is closed. And like Jill, I'm taking advantage of right now, and I got braces on my teeth so that for 30 years, I'll have beautiful teeth. Well, 30 more years and beyond. And every morning I get to start my day, Dimitri, by walking out in our beautiful snow-covered field to feed our horses. So that's my one of my joys. And I also want to share with you that my awesome, which is coming up this Saturday, I've been so excited about it, is a trip to Italy virtually and with two wine coaches who are going to take us through Tuscany. So the wine is being delivered to my house. The gourmet Italian meal is being delivered to my house. And we're going to Italy on Saturday night. So I'm thrilled about that. But yes, Hildy, I've been following you for 15 years at least and bringing the message to not-for-profits about their vision statements that are not focused on them, but on what the outcome is they want to see in the world. So I have been banging heads on that ever since, and I love it, and it works. And also then just taking your wisdom, because the catalytic thinking model, and I have taken that to the group that I work with, and we've created our collective enoughness budget, which we keep adding to. Who has what to give? Who has what to get? Anyway, I just love everything that comes out of creating the future, and I share you with everybody I know. So I'm thrilled to be here.
Okay, now you're my awesome, so... Well, you talking about your horses, that means I must go to Deborah Spector next. And Deborah has been part of our Creating the Future family for about 5, 6, 7 years now, and has taken some of our classes, is in some of our communities, and it is just always a joy to learn from you and to have you in the room. And I love having the horse connection right here. So if you can tell us where you are and... You are in a state very much like our state of Arizona. You recently turned purple, which is very exciting. And so if you could just tell us what's been awesome in your life.
Well, to turn Georgia purple and to personally know the new senators from the state has meant a lot. We'll see how that goes along. But right now we're all still celebrating. And Elaine, when I listen to you talk about horses, I'm in Atlanta. Our weather it keeps changing. In the mornings, it will be in the 30s, and then by the afternoon, it will be in the 60s, and then it drops back down again into the 30s, which makes it very difficult. It is impacting horses and dogs because of the constant change. But right now, the horse that I ride, who is north of where I live, is a Belgian warm blood. He is a big, beautiful boy. And being able to see him and sit on him and to be able to ride him is a tremendous joy. in my life. Just to go to the farm, life completely changes. And I see Elaine smiling because she understands it's absolutely like nothing else. So I am, however, going to have to leave and then follow you because my dogs are in an enrichment class in their doggy daycare. And it was pouring down rain this morning. And so as I was chasing one of them in the house and then reminded her that she got to go to doggy daycare, all of a sudden, it was quite a circus, but well worth it. And the other thing that I'm doing right now, I'm taking advantage of not being as interactive personally in the community. And I have returned to a blog that I had put aside, and I am just about finished with the draft of my next post, which is on the journey of increasing resilience. So hopefully it will be posted very soon.
Awesome. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. I'm just so glad you're here. And Amanda, let's try you again.
Hello.
Yay. You know, the sound is much better when I turn my speaker on.
That too. No, it was me. When I had just recorded something on a different app and that just changed all my mic settings. Here I am. Thank you. Yes, I do work at KX in Tucson, and we did have snow, and I made my go and catch snowflakes just to do it. I tried taking pictures, but they weren't really beautiful. I let many other people shared that, but I've seen some amazing pictures of the mountains totally covered, where 6 months ago they were totally engulfed in flames. Like it was 100 degrees and they were fiery red, and which I intellectually knew, but someone did two pictures from the same vantage point side by side, and it was pretty amazing. I can't think of any really awesome, just, pleasant goodness happening.
So. You know, pleasant goodness, these days we'll take pleasant goodness. I think that is awesomeness enough. Some days it's just, it's good. It's good. And that is good. So, well, it is wonderful to have you all here. For those who are new to our meetings, we start all of our meetings by getting to know each other as much as we can, even just a little bit like this. It's always nice to know who's in the room and to just have a little bit of a sense of folks. So connecting at that human level. What we are looking to think about, our e-journal/newsletter has been the same for 4 or 5 years. People like it. We get notes from people saying they use it, they share it, they like it. We get, from what Scott and Peter tell me, a very good open rate on it, which is a very nice thing. We get a good click-through rate on it, which is a very nice thing. But that just means that as it is appealing to some people who are looking at it. It doesn't tell us that it is accomplishing what it has the potential to accomplish. And so that's why we're here looking at it. We may wind up with exactly where we started from. We may wind up with something completely different, but it is important for us to go through the thinking to say, is this what it needs to be? Currently, and actually I'm not even gonna go to currently, because it doesn't matter what it currently is. What we really need to think about is what it has the potential to be. And we're going to step through catalytic thinking to do that. So let's start with the first question, which is the question of who is affected by our newsletter / e-journal? Whether we change it or whether we don't, whose lives are touched by that journal? And I'll just start by saying, obviously, people who read it. Okay, so now let's just keep going further. Whose lives are affected? Who is touched by our e-journal or could be touched by our e-journal?
Well, Hildy, for me, yes, it's the readers, but it's also practitioners, because I am a practitioner in the field of not-for-profits. And so, you know, who reads it and then where it goes from that reader, the outreach from that is huge. So, you know, as I've said, I've shared your email and I've shared concepts and tools. So, you know, it just ripples out.
Gotcha. So there's the readers and then there's the people that they share it with. Frequently that's in the nonprofit world and frequently it's not. Yeah. Who else is touched by or could be touched by whatever newsletter we would put out?
For me, I think could be, that could is such a strong word in that sentence, because I think it depends on how empowered the reader is and how compelled the reader is to share it with a variety of audiences. So when I read the e-newsletter, there are times when I read it and I think it is speaking directly to me and I feel empowered to share it either with my clients or I feel or with other colleagues or, you know, share the things that you put out on LinkedIn, those kinds of connections, right? There are times when I read the newsletter and I don't feel like I'm the direct audience and I feel less engaged and less empowered to share it with my network. So I think that could is a really vital component to that question.
Wow. Yeah. There's a billion layers to what you just said. Thank you for that.
I suspect that people who complete the courses online, like I have, are probably curious and check out the website and start reading the e-journal and see how that fits for them after they're trying to integrate the course material.
Yep.
Hildy? When I was reviewing the e-journals and I thought if there were an index and you talk about the archives, but if people knew the topics in those archives, and also if there were social media buttons so that if someone found the information compelling and meaningful, then they could share it with their network through Twitter, their Facebook, and then you grow your audience who have been introduced from someone who is a friend / influencer for them. And I think also, and I sent you an email because I wasn't sure how long I'd be on the call. What I think would be very helpful is a description of what the e-journal newsletter is, what the intent is, who the authors are, and that way it encourages thinking about and exploring. You have some incredibly empowering, I love that term, information, not only in the e-journal, but also in the blog and on the website. But we're so inundated that to make it easy for someone to share it and put their impression or why they think it's meaningful, then you expand your audience who become more engaged.
Wonderful, wonderful. In terms of who is touched by the journal, you mentioned authors, and we had not done that. So thank you. That's another group, and the authors of both the journal and frequently the journal links to blog posts. Absolutely. Yeah, Jill, did you have something?
Yeah, I would like to add, I'm not from your field at all. I'm career change. I'm semi-retired right now, but I come from the field of business. And with what's been going on in the United States in the last few years, I think there's a lot of people out there who want to make a change and create a better future. And so I did not know till I actually had a conversation with you that you guys were focused primarily on foundations and not for profits. I mean, I had no idea because I live in the corporate world. And it was like, well, your stuff is applicable there. And I'm from Minneapolis, and Minneapolis has just had the George Floyd incident. And I look at Minneapolis and I go, we're trying to reinvent Minneapolis and how we allocate things. And there's so much that needs to be done here in Minneapolis to create a better world. And I think everybody that is involved in this kind of stuff and creating change in every aspect of our country and perhaps our world should be listening to this stuff. And I think to feel like it's mostly, and you say it's not just nonprofit, et cetera, but you know, at some level it is. When I read, you know, how do you pick a board? That's about nonprofit. And I understand that most of you are in that field, but the reality is your message is deeper and broader and more important than the niche that you're in. And I wish, I mean, if you ask me, I wish you would expand it. And I wish you would come to Minneapolis and talk to Mayor Fry and talk with him about what you can do and get a consortium together to put together an initiative to get all these people talking and create things the way, you know, that you describe in your stuff. That's what I wish. I would love to have Minneapolis be a case study for you guys that you can say how we help Minneapolis boom, 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 and recover from, you know, all this and make some significant changes. But to me, your newsletter feels small compared to the impact it could have about people who want to be change agents today, who want to see a better world. And I think it's niched here and you can broaden it. You can bring more people in and you can impact positively more people.
Yeah, it's been interesting. Our audience in general is exactly who you said, is anyone who wants to make a difference. I do see that the journal goes in and out of very much like what Sue said, is sometimes it resonates and sometimes it doesn't, that sometimes it is talking about, and sometimes the announcements, you know, do you want to be part of our board meeting and learn board stuff, is going to be very, very narrow niche and sometimes not. So yeah, absolutely. And what you're also bringing to mind for me is not just people who want to make a difference in the world, period, which is huge and powerful right now, but also elected officials. Very, very much so.
I mean, I was just on a Zoom with Mayor Fry the other night. And I mean, he really wants to make some big changes. And there's a lot of work that has to be done. And it's work that it's going to involve a whole lot of people from a whole lot of areas, a lot of consultants. And all those consultants are people who could be reading your stuff and taking their own work to a higher level.
Yep, I'm writing consultants down.
Because they're all focused on, you know, looking back and what do we want to fix as opposed to how do we go forward and create the future. But there's a lot of people who, when they see it, could understand the value of what you're doing and how it creates a different outcome than what they've been taught.
Huge, huge. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I think educators for their students. I know we have around the country many educators at the college level who use materials around the processes and the thinking that Creating the Future has developed. The e-journal can be also something that addresses their teaching methodologies.
That's great. And it also brings to mind government departments. We have a lot of people who read who are in government positions. Yeah.
I'll just add, Dimitri, I was heading in the same direction as you. I was going to mention educators also and relatedly parents, because I think, you know, obviously parents overlaps a lot of these other categories, but I certainly have incorporated a lot of the catalytic thinking principles and approaches in how I've parented my kids. So I think that there's a lot of potential there.
And I know that Deborah has to leave. And so I'm just saying thank you. She's picking up her puppies.
And I would just say, following up on those comments, to me, I just jotted down anyone seeking a new path forward, you know, across these disciplines. You know, there's, again, it's interesting you mentioned as far as a parent. I mean, it's as simple as incorporating this in your parenting, right on up to the corporate world. So I think that can cut across all these categories in a way.
Yeah.
You kind of identify seekers of a new path forward.
Yeah, which dives in with what Jill was talking about, is anybody who really wants to make a difference about anything. So it's not just wants to make a difference in the world. They may want to make a difference in their life. They may want to make, it depends on how you define world. The world could be huge. It could be all of Minneapolis. It could be my neighborhood. And I think you're right. I think that cuts across everyone. And what it does, as you were talking, Scott, I could feel my brain smiling. It gets to the emphasis in catalytic thinking and at creating the future, that it's about the people, not the position. And so, you know, you may be in the business world one day and the nonprofit world the next day. You may be an activist by day and a mom by night. You may, I mean, there's a million, we're not categories and we're not positions, but really looking at this through the lens of people who want to make a difference in their lives, in their workplaces, in their communities, regardless of where they are.
And following to that, Hildy, so answering the question, who is touched by our e-journal, it's the people who, all these people that we've talked about, readers, practitioners, authors, elected officials, the people that they are going to be talking to, how they are going to present themselves into the world. And so all those people are also going to be touched.
Yep. Yes. The people that they talk with, the people that they share the journal with, and also, as Elaine was saying, the people that they just use this stuff and it works and nobody knows. And Ron was saying as well, nobody knows it necessarily came from Creating the Future, but it is the ripple of the content. I think that's really the nub of it, is that anyone who is seeking a new path forward, is seeking to make a difference in the world, who feels, as Sue said, connected to the material. And then the people that they share that with. So if that is, and just as explanation for folks who are not really, really steeped in catalytic thinking, one of the fun parts about using catalytic thinking for what would traditionally be sales and marketing. Sales and marketing encourages you immediately to narrow your target audience. Who is the one person you're talking to so that you can envision that person, talk to that person? And we have found that narrowing too soon eliminates all the richness of what we just found here. Is when we broaden that, when we narrow too soon, among many other things, it leads to unintended consequences because there's people we're not thinking about. So if it's in policy and things, there's people we're not thinking about because we narrowed very, very quickly. But we also find that there's an awful lot of richness in really describing who is touched by what we are doing, which we just danced around and played with. I want to welcome Maria. And it is a joy to have you here. And I will have you introduce yourself real, real briefly. Tell us where you are and a very speed awesome, and then we'll bring you up to speed real quick. So say hello and tell us where you are and what's awesome.
Hello, everybody. Maria Turnbull. I live in a place settlers call Bowen Island, and the Squamish Nation, it's part of, in the Squamish language, it's called Nehuehlalem, off the coast of West Vancouver in British Columbia. And my awesome is that we got something called a heat pump installed today, which means maybe I don't have to light a fire tonight. It's snowing, which I can't believe.
Yay for heat. the simple things. We have just worked through the for whom's, just worked through the who'll be touched. And interesting, we danced all around people in different industries. We danced all around people in different positions and really have come to the fact that it's not the position, it's the people. That it is people who feel that they want to make a difference in the world and people who are in any way seeking a new path forward, whether it's in the world or in their own lives, but really just that being the nut of it. Yes, Sue. Yeah.
I just wanted to comment on what you said earlier about narrowing your focus versus expanding your focus. And I think that collectively we've landed on exactly the right space. And that is, it could be anyone. It is the person, not the position. But I also think that it is that the opportunity exists to let whoever is reading the material find their own path to resonating with it. And that is helping by providing a way for them to connect the dots to what they're doing.
Yeah, I'm writing down every word Sue just said so that I can come back. I love that these things are recorded. Go ahead.
I think it could also be position based too, though, because you know, you could be working with Bob, who's the president of the foundation, and then it's going to be Mark, who's the president of the foundation, and you want to keep that. I mean, of course, it's all people, but also having those.
And that's where stories come in.
And all of the things that we're coming up with.
I was so brilliant, and now I'll try to remember.
No.
Sue, I want to take what you had said and tie it into what Joyce was talking about. Mm-hmm. And that is not just people who want to change the path, but people who want to create the path.
That's right.
Example, their children, their first path. And that COVID has created so many homeschool situations where parents are, you know, rethinking their role in their child's education and mm-hmm. who they become, that I was really sparked when you talked about that, Joyce, in terms of your kids and how you've incorporated this. And I think of all the parents who are at home with their kids and have been, as this is a path to take that supplements and amplifies who these young people become as adults. So I just wanted to tie it in there as well. So it's not just a pivot, it's a first path for many.
It feels like a tool. You know, we all as parents try and lift the veil for our kids and help them see a future beyond what we could see for ourselves. And it is a tool for allowing someone to make those choices, to help augment the choices that they do make.
Okay, so between you all right now, I'm on my third color. And that's how the brain goes. It's like, oh, this needs to connect to this. And already my head is exploding because, and it's the reason it's so important that we focus on the person rather than the position. Because I may be reading this because somebody in my organization or my company handed it to me, and it's a workplace article that has to do with how we operate in workplaces or whatever. But I read it and I go, you know, this could work for my kid. Or this could work in the thing that I've been talking to my kid's teacher about, or this could work. We've had several of our fellows have realized very, very early on, oh, this is about how I talk to my husband. And there is so much of that, that you could be reading it, thinking you're reading for it for one thing. And it can affect you in another, if we are really mindful that it's about the person and not the position.
And Hody, I'd follow up with that. One of the things that really stuck with me when you and I were talking a while back, and I was trying to get my head around creating the future and the concepts, is how it's differentiated from self-help, so to speak, where the idea that everyone, you know, everyone wants to change their life, right? I think where we landed was, you know, this is an opportunity to change the world around you, or to Dimitri's point, create the world around you. And to me, that has a lot more power and is a lot more differentiated than change your life. It's like, no, change the world, whether it's your household, the world within your household, or it's, you know, your community, or it's your organization. But to me, that concept seemed really empowering in the sense of, you know, it's not just about you. It's about how do I change this world around me? And it can be as narrow as the relationship you have with your husband to, you know, massive change.
Yeah, I'm remembering a keynote I did many years ago, several years ago. It was to a foundation was leading it. It was 300 board members from around the community, and it was focused on governance and boards and very nonprofit-y. And I spoke about, you know, I did my catalytic thinking spiel and talked about it in the context of boards. But I always bring in different stories that have nothing to do with it could be personal, it could be business, it could be, because it is, as you all are saying, universal. I had a woman come up to me afterwards. She said, what you're talking about is parenting. And I smiled and I said, well, yeah. She said, and she started to cry. And she said, I have been a really horrible parent. And she just started to tell me that every time she's always yelling at her kids, you're going to forget your cell phone. You're going to forget your backpack. You're going to rip this. You're going to tear that. She said, I need to be focusing on what they can do. And what I mean, it was just, but it was this remarkable moment where it was so personal for her. And it became so much about her parenting. And I was there to talk about to 300 board members. So to what you all are saying, I think that is really spot on. And so it really segues immediately into that next question of, okay, so what then can our journal make possible for those individuals? And Maria, could you expand a little bit about what you put into the chat? Because I think that this is a big part of what does it make possible?
Mm-hmm. It kind of blows the lid off of what it could make possible, I think. that discussion about sort of the who there. to me, and in thinking of the journal specifically, you know, the what can I make possible for those people? For me, it's that practical element, you know, and I find I'm often a practical, you know, I sense that in myself, that it's always seeking practical application. And I think for me then, what that can make possible is, again, the kind of integrating of just, it's a whole new way of being, or can be a whole new way of being and showing up in the world. And I'm referencing catalytic thinking and listening, and providing a tool that is to the individuals, the people, it allows that self-exploration. It puts them like, also, I don't know, it holds individuals accountable for making sense of it, instead of kind of too much spoon feeding or something. So I'll just share maybe one example and then pass off. Yesterday I was working on a proposal for our client for strategic planning work. And I was like, and I know they want to do something different. I've worked with them before. We're ready to kind of, I've got the relationship. They trust me as their facilitator and guide in the work. And I went straight to catalytic thinking, some of your blog pages actually in this case, but then I pushed myself to say, what does this tell me about how we could approach strategic planning differently? And just being more active in the process, I think makes my learning more feasible. So it makes that learning more possible, the behavior change in a positive sense. So I'll end there for what that's worth.
Thank you. What else could the e-journal make possible for people who are seeking to make a difference, looking for a different path forward?
Could I interrupt just for 1 second and pick up something that Maria mentioned? It's not answering that question, but I'm getting a little confused on the goals of the blog versus the goals of the e-journal versus other parts. When I'm looking at the website, you have a lot of educational resources, and all of those things there are people who are affected by all of those things, and they probably interact somewhat differently in each of those categories. For example, normally in a blog, I find it's more interactive. There are more threads and people are working through things with other people and so on. Whereas the blog here seems to be more like a library archival function. So it's confusing to me a little bit. So if someone could help me with that, that would help me probably contribute more to this discussion.
As it has been, which does not need to be as it goes forward, the blog has been sometimes a place of discussion, frequently not. What I have found over time is that, in my experience, and it's just in my experience, that blogs have been less interactive over the past several years as social media has become more interactive. And so our blog used to be a place where a lot of the discussions we're having here started out as blog discussions 10 years ago because there was no here. And so it has become more of sort of static posts, places to put the announcements of meetings and stuff. The journal though, and currently there is no RSS feed for the blog. So you can't subscribe just to the blog. And so currently the e-journal, the newsletter, is what goes into people's inboxes, goes out as an email and goes into people's inboxes. That said, the intent of the blog is not set in stone. Actually, there is no intent of the blog. So that might be the next thing we tackle. But does that help, Ron? Does that help explain?
That's a help. Thank you.
This really is our communications piece to the world. The e-journal/newsletter is our communications piece where we send stuff out that we want people to know on a regular basis, but that's funny, on an irregular basis.
And so are you, in terms of what it makes possible, are you then hoping, when you send out an e-journal article, what do you want to see happen?
That's what we're asking. So let's put that out to the group. When we send out something, what could be the result of that? What would we want people to do, see, et cetera? What would good look like?
Well, I personally would like to, I know I personally felt hesitant to get involved. I'm sort of a lurker until I get a comfort level for who I'm interacting with. So what would be really nice would be someone would read an e-journal and then feel somehow some mechanism, maybe it's through the social media you talk, but some conversation somehow would happen. Maybe someone, they could reach out to someone and have a conversation like this and get a personal connection so that you actually feel like sometimes when you're on blogs and so on, you know, you get some connection if you connect with the content, you're in the same situation and so on, but sometimes you don't know who you're interacting with. And so that's what I'm wondering. How can you create that connection?
And I think not just connection with the author or the connection with the genesis of the article, but with other people who are engaged as well. That was one of the things that I felt like was missing, Ron. You kind of honed in on that around the idea of how are you going to know? You know, if I take what you have sent out in this e-journal and I use it, like Maria talked about, to inform my thinking on how I'm going to change strategic planning process for a client, that doesn't come full circle to you, so that you have no way of knowing, are you hitting the beat or not?
Right. Right.
Without that connective conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's Elaine here, and I think I love what I just heard. I have to say that my screen is frozen, so I don't know really what's going on in the virtual world there, but I'm on my phone. I think just connecting to that conversation is that there is the opportunity to connect. And I know, in a way that people connect to the information and the data to make meaning for themselves, to maybe take practical application. But is there a way to, we have calls to action, but how can people give you back information about what they've done in terms of how they've used the techniques, the tools, the changed thinking, and what miraculous things are happening because they've done that? So when you talk about sharing and sharing back, so rather than the e-journal, it's a great tool out, but I wonder if you could use it as a tool back in.
Sure. And what that raises is the one group that we did not list in our who is affected by the journal, which is creating the future.
Exactly.
And what it makes possible for us, which you guys are starting to allude to. Let's stay with our readers and the people that they share it with and the people who are looking to make a difference in their lives and the world. What can the journal, and doesn't have to be as it currently stands, what could a newsletter make possible for those folks who are looking to create change?
I'd like to build on something that Maria said in the chat about.
Sue and then Elaine.
Okay. So I'd like to build on something that Maria said in the chat about the micro focus of some of that, so that it is easily digestible nuggets of information. So just almost like, rather than panning for gold, you just get handed the nugget, right? And so I sometimes, with every newsletter, I'll open it and see if I have the bandwidth to read it. But if I know that that newsletter, for in whatever space it is going to hand me the gold nugget and I don't have to pan for it, then I feel like every single time I will open that up in hopes it might be pyrite, but it might be gold. And it feels like those micro pieces help me as your reader process it, absorb it, convey it.
Yeah, I think that's hugely important as we talk about conditions, figuring out what does that look like. Hugely important. There's a lot of some of when I look at the statistics on our newsletter, one of the things that tickles me is when I see how many people clicked through at something that's all the way at the bottom, which means they got that. Because most newsletters I get, I don't get that far.
Well, I mean, we talked about, we don't have to know what, I mean, I would love to know what the click-through rate is. I would love to know what you consider a good open rate to be. I mean, I get that that's not really like the process of what it could be, but it would be very helpful for me to think about it. I think that, and again, this isn't like the process of asking questions, but like, essentially, it's pretty darn good. Like, it's good. but it's reaching a chunk of people who like to access information in this way, who like to, who choose to subscribe to the newsletter, who choose to open it up, who choose to read in English, who choose to, you know, And so, like, there's the whole, so there's one of the things I could do, and some of you all have alluded to it, is creating talking about sharing testimonials or the practice in action, and that could create more of a community feeling of the creating the future community of practitioners or interested people. Rather than me reading and then, you know, the creating the future Borg.
You're being absorbed into the collective, is that it?
No, but not, maybe I am, but maybe I'm not. Like, it's there and they do this stuff and I read this article and it's cool, I like it, you know. Yeah, I would probably take, well, I don't know. I just want to say what I would like to do, but I don't think that's the process and it's making me nuts, but I can.
Okay. What would you like to do? We'll stick that in the parking lot and it will be here.
Okay.
Tell us.
Oh, well, I would do things like, I wouldn't put e-journal in the title.
I wouldn't either.
I never put newsletter in the title of anything. I never put in.
Not in the subject line either.
Yeah, it just is. And yeah, at the bottom, you could say if you would like to subscribe to our e-journal or whatever.
Gotcha.
I did like what the person was saying about putting your social feeds in the footer. And that's easy to do with most email clients.
They're already there.
I think they're in there.
Oh, cool. I'll have to look again. I think we have to do image descriptions on our websites and on our news journal for blind people.
Absolutely.
So those are,
yep.
I had one open. I have to look back again.
That's okay. And jotting those down. One of the things that it happens with catalytic thinking, as happens with any facilitation framework, is it sparks thinking. And the question may be over here and somebody's thinking about this over there. And the importance is to bring that back to make sure that it's there, to write it down, to save it. So that when we do get there, that it's part of the conversation. So thank you for that, Amanda.
I have a question. Where are we in the process? I don't know the process well, so I'm not sure what I should be even responding to right now.
We are addressing the question of what the journal can make possible, what the newsletter can make possible for the people who read it, who are looking to change the world.
Okay. You can, let me, let me ask, answer. It could make possible that I could believe that something could be done. If I could see a video with somebody giving an example of what they've done, or if you pose a question in terms of, you know, you think, what are the 12 biggest questions we get this year? And you have a question of the month, and for the question of the month, you can get people to respond and you can share other things and how other people are doing it. So you can bring different examples in. You can, I mean, there's so many ways to engage them. I want to hear you talk more, but also you need to know that I think as a newsletter writer, because I have a newsletter as well that goes out to 140,000 people. And you know, so I think about this kind of stuff all the time. You know, how do you engage people? What do you want to do? Do you want to engage them? Sometimes you don't. You just need to share information and let them know it's possible, because you have a bandwidth issue and you can't do everything that you might like to do. So you have to think, well, this is just a sharing, and the blog piece is just a sharing, but you can bring other people in, and you could be interviewing people, Hildy, from another, you know, who's doing some of this work, and you could have a wonderful video interview, and I could listen to the video if I wanted to, but you could also send it out to Rev, and I could have a transcript if it's easier for me, or I could download it and send it out, and I could listen to it on you know, when I'm out walking, my foot is finally healed, and, you know, and there's so many things that you can do that can involve other people and help me feel that it's possible, that I may be this little person in my corner of the world wanting a future that's different than I have today. And there are other people working, and you have shown me multiple ways of how people are working. And then I think, what if I'm the parent who sees some of this stuff and wants to go more the parent route? And I think, well, geez, it'd be nice to have a place on your website where I could go educators, parents, you know, and there would be a separate thing, or I could have corporate, or I could have government, and I could see, oh, this is me, and anything that might relate there. And some things could be in multiple areas, because I may look in multiple areas and they have multiple purposes. And that's kind of all what I think, that you have a lot to offer, that it's sitting behind writing, it's sitting behind verbiage, a lot of verbiage when there are so many other mediums that you could be using even within it. And that allows you to multi-purpose your time and get a whole lot more bang for the investment of your time, because I know how much time it takes to put together a quality newsletter that people want to read, that they refer to others. So
that's great. And what it sort of gets to is there's the different ways of approaching. There's the written, there's the video, there's the podcast, there's the et cetera, which all comes back to having examples. What it makes possible, what those examples of other people doing things makes possible is how you started, which is believing that something can be done.
That's exactly the most important part, that I need to believe it can be done, that there's a way to get it done, and other people are doing it.
Yep. And
I can see that somebody is doing it in my genre, you know, exactly. Whether it's the foundations or it's Minneapolis.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think there's a really, really good points. You know, when I think about what it makes possible, you know, and this is one of the communications approaches we need to be thinking about is, you know, to me, it's somewhat dependent on where people are in their journey. Mm-hmm. You know, for the newbie, you know, which we want newbies, you know, it's, you know, can they be inspired? Can they see the potential? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, there's the other category, more of the practitioner, I would say, who's already in the game, you know, and that to me is what it feels like a lot of the content is directed toward, understandably. But if you're a newbie seeing that, it's a little, the access to it can be a challenge. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, the entry point is, what could be possible is seeing the possibilities and being inspired to dig deeper.
Well, and that also that also raises the who is affected. It is where people are in their journey. That's an important part of who is affected by the newsletter. Who is affected is people who want to make a difference, who are just stepping in for the first time. People who want to make a difference who've been doing this for 20 years. People who want to make a difference who are doing it within a corporate setting. People who want to make a difference who are doing it as a mom, as a stay-at-home mom with three kids homeschooling because of COVID. And so it's sort of subs under that. Yeah.
And I think what connects all those audiences though is the desire to be inspired and to see the potential, no matter where you are on this journey. To me, that's the common thread. You know, a story that inspires is going to inspire someone who's been involved with this for 10 years as much as it would someone who's just excited about seeing where this is. So to me, that's a common thread that has potential.
Yep.
Across.
Yep.
The board. I think the common thread that kind of runs through it all for the practitioners is the getting stuck part. You know, what do you do when? It's like, And I think everybody's got that, and you can get the contributions from a lot of people that to me would be helpful for anybody who's working the process or doing it and stuck.
Right. I'm gonna ask if any of you have to leave, if you will give us a moment's notice so that we can ask for your reflections. Sue had to leave and I would love her reflections. And so if you do have to leave early, it's awesome. Totally appreciate you being here at all, but just give us a moment so that we can ask for your reflections. Amanda. Mm-hmm. You're muted.
Yeah. I did check out the social footers, and those are all geared towards if I want to share the newsletter. I would actually like the social footers to take me to your Facebook page and to take me to your Twitter so I could follow the conversation there. I don't necessarily tell like my whole feed about your article, but I would like to see what you're up to on social. But that's, you know what.
Gotcha.
And then you have a newsletter and you have all these names and you can do a survey with the people who get the newsletter about who they are and what they want or what they use it for. And you can do the survey in a way that's kind of teaching them the process. Like, and I'm sure you have like the regular openers, and then there's all the people who aren't openers, and there's ways to engage them to see if they would like to keep open. You know, is this where they get off or do they like just getting it? There's also sometimes, it could be coming from different people sometimes. It could be coming from Hildy, from Creating the Future, or different board members, like a real person. And you could test that out.
And following on what Amanda just said about the social media, I would even do what we were saying about creating that conversation, having that coming back to Creating the Future, even linking one of the articles to Instagram or Facebook or Twitter or all of them and just say, follow the conversation. And to Jill's point about, right, like how do you engage people? Like you could see people when they are interested in an article, when they're interested in a post, they comment and they want to be part of that. And people that do follow that, and especially on Twitter, like you see it so much. So just asking them to be proactive, follow the conversation, tell us what you think. How are you going to implement this in your day-to-day life? Is this going to be for your work, for your personal life? And in that way, see those reactions and continue triggering in people's minds the possibilities of creating the future's teachings.
Absolutely. I want to dive back. I am not sure that I followed up with Elaine because I don't see you. And I want to make sure that you have an opportunity to dive in, Elaine. Was there something that I missed? If you're talking, you're muted. Well, hopefully you will stick something in the chat if you want to chat and say, Hildy, we're here. I'm here. What I'm gathering is two big things. One, it makes possible connection. It makes possible connection with other people who are walking the path who may be a little bit ahead of me, maybe a little bit behind me, maybe right alongside of me, but connecting with other people who are on this journey. And secondly, feeling inspired and seeing the potential that A, the world does change, and B, I can change it. I can make a difference. I'm not recalling who I was talking to recently. It may, Scott, have been you and Peter, where I frequently talk about people who talk about themselves as just as. I'm just a volunteer. I'm just a mom. I'm just a teacher. I'm just a person. I'm seeing that what it makes possible is that folks who see themselves as just a whatever can see that they have the power to create change. And whether that's in their lives, whether that's in their communities, whether that's in their workplaces. And so the connecting and the seeing they have the power. And I see some of this, some of what we've been talking about here is actually conditions that create feeling I have the power. So the seeing something practical, having something be bite-sized, even the feeling connection, feeling like I can make a difference, seeing other people's stories, all helps me understand that, oh, I can make a difference. So what else, what are other conditions for that success? If success is that people find each other and find their own inspiration and path to creating change, what do they need to see in order to do that? What do they need to believe? And Elaine is here. Yes.
I don't know if you can hear me. Can you hear me?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Oh, that's really strange because I'm on my phone, but then I somehow lost that. I lost the internet connection. That's what it's like here where I live.
You're here. You are here.
Great conversation. And part of me being here is kind of selfish because I have my own newsletter and I want to understand what we're doing with this newsletter. I can say that I have never once not opened your newsletter. Never. So I think that is a testament to the fact that it always sparks a curiosity in me to look at it, to make sure I look at it. And I think what else is a reason that I'm compelled to always read it is because there are continuations of, so there's continuity of principle. Even if you say you're changing things, there's this continuity of principle. And there are always nuggets, and there is always something I take away. So I like that it's not huge, it's not overloaded, it's usually to a point, for a point. And again, you know, that it sparks curiosity. I think that's a really important thing that we need to do for people. Just my thoughts.
Huge, beautiful. Let's play with that a little bit. What does it take to spark curiosity? What do people need to see? What do they need to feel? What do they need to know?
They need to know they're going to be surprised.
Okay, and what if they need to know they will be surprised?
Five new strategies for doing this. Unusual ways to solve a people problem. It's partly in the title that you choose that sparks it and pulls you in, that you know it's going to be an unusual thing, or how blank solve this particular problem. Oh man, yeah, I've got that problem too. So I mean, to me, it's all in the title and then the first paragraph. And if that holds true, you can get people to read it. Mm-hmm. And that's what sparks curiosity.
I think too, Hildy, for me, it's trust. Mm-hmm. So I trust the organization and I trust Hildy. So mm-hmm. It's always a trusted source for me.
Wonderful, wonderful. Dimitri, did you have something?
Yeah.
And then I want to go to Maria to make sure before she goes.
Great. One of the things that the newsletter does is it's, to me, it's like a net that brings people to the website, because that's really the main body. And the website, unlike many other websites that I go to, is not a sales pitch. It's not a business card. It's not a brochure. It is a deep dive into many, many conceptual things that is freely given. So the part of the surprise that I was talking about is, what part of this dense website, because it is dense, there's a lot there, what part of it is this going to take me to? And frequently it takes you to some new part that didn't even exist before the newsletter went out. So, you know, I see it as, you know, when I say it's a net, it is something that reaches out. And taking what Elaine was saying in terms of trust, continuity of message, in all of that, that allows me to step into this net and be pulled into to what's happening at the website. But, you know, Hildy, you and I have always talked about, and I've told you, wow, the website is so dense in a really good way. I mean, there's so much material, so much information, and it's not all behind a paywall that, you know, anybody can get to it and get a lot of this information for themselves and begin implementing it immediately. And I think the nugget part is implemented immediately. What problem, what issue, what spark is there that I can do something with right now? And if I want to dive deeper, it's there for diving deeper.
And that's one of the things that I was thinking, if that is the purpose, right? That if you do want to drive more people to the website, and or if it's just a reflection to get into your in your email. And so that's why the small bites of information that you could offer on the newsletter, to not to make it extremely long, but then always giving the chance for somebody that wants to dig deeper in one of the topics or in all of them, but at least you give them a header and a good, that surprise and that element of to spark curiosity. And then take them to the website or take them to your social media channel. So there continues to be a conversation, there continues to be a learning.
Yeah, I sometimes wonder, I mean, just speaking from my perspective, I'm sort of fairly newly retired and willing to put some time in to somehow help this organization be more effective in the world in whatever small way that might be. I wonder if we, using that net analogy, if the e-journal is like a net which brings people to us, the website or the organization, what would there be a possible role for someone, say like myself, who could just talk to that person, email them, chat with them, phone them, but have a bigger conversation around what it was that, you know, and then try to find a way to segue them into the next thing, whatever that is.
Sure. We have talked about that in the past as a Sherpa, someone who's guiding you along the way. Maria.
Yeah, if I can, just before I head off, I totally agree with everything that's already been said, so I won't reiterate anything. But my something unique that hasn't been mentioned is one condition is that it needs not to land in junk mail. And I don't know what the tech side of that is. Occasionally mine lands in my junk mail, and because I'm not very good at checking it, I might miss one on those occasions. Mm-hmm. And then secondly is, I totally agree about the common thread that I think it was Elaine that shared out at the outset of this conversation, and the trust in you, Hildy. And yet I think some of the what it makes possible that we talked about, you know, give an entryway to considering who would Hildy trust to, and it might also help with CTF's capacity and you, Hildy, you know, if there's trusted individuals that really can carry the thread effectively and also bring different unique voice to it. That's just one thought. But yeah. Lovely to join in for the time that I could. And thank you for making that possible, Hildy and Dimitri, and all of you. We'll see you again.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, Amanda.
I just want to comment. I'm uncomfortable with the word Sherpa because that seems a little, I mean, they're great guides, but it seems like a subservient role. So you might not be thinking of it that way, but it also, I mean, the shirtfluorizing and do amazing things, but it seems to have a slight racialized component to it too that doesn't sit right with me. So I'm just not comfortable with that. But a guide or ambassador, absolutely.
Yeah.
And then there's also, and I think Jill, you're going to be a gold mine with helping this. I don't know if you ever. These are the things that I aspire to do, wish we could do for our KXEI newsletter. But there's segmenting the database, you know, writing to the people who maybe open it up 10 times out of every year and just giving them like a special je ne sais quoi experience or a next step for them. Like, wow, we noticed you really like to read this e-journal.
Absolutely. I'm sorry, I just got distracted. A hummingbird just literally came up to the window and just did this. So I'm sorry.
I have some thoughts too, and I'm not again sure where they fit. Because I don't know what we're doing next. What's coming?
As we look at catalytic thinking, we start with who will be impacted. We ask what it will make possible for them. And then we look at what the conditions are for that possibility to become real. And that's where we are now, is talking about what would it take for people to be inspired, engaged, feeling like they could make a difference.
Okay. And then what's next? Tell me what's next.
What actions will create those conditions?
Oh, wait.
Oh, okay.
Okay. You're more patient than I am.
What else do people need to see? What do they need to, and these are conditions questions. So in the world of teaching catalytic thinking, the questions of what do people need to see? What do they need to feel? What do they need to know? What do they need to understand? What do they need to be assured of in order to be inspired to think that they can change the world? What would they need to see? What would they need to know?
Stories. Whoever said stories before, mm-hmm. They need stories.
Yep.
I think they need to see themselves. They need to see themselves in those stories. That could be me doing this.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. So far we have in broad strokes, we have they need to see practical things that they can do. The nuggets. They need to see stories. They need avenues to some of the rich backup that there is, if they're ready for that, to see how they can learn more or dive deeper. What else?
Sorry, this is random. Do you fundraising after your newsletter? Do you seek any kind of funding?
No.
That's a choice not to.
Yeah.
Or
yeah, it's an educational and engagement piece, and not a, I mean, it says if you want to donate. It says if you want to donate. Because everything says if you want to donate, but that it's once a year we do a letter at the end of the year that asks for money, but that's it. What else will help people feel that they can take that step?
And this may just be inherent in stories, but I think they need to see results. They need to see progress. Mm-hmm. They need to see the potential.
I also think it helps if they have some sort of personal connection with the organization, whatever way that might happen.
So what creates that kind of personal connection that they feel? So I've heard of Creating the Future somewhere, and I come to the website and I see the form and I fill it out and I get the e-journal. I'm just a person. what will help me feel that personal connection?
Maybe the welcome email, like in the beginning as well, like just saying, hey, thank you so much for joining our network. And then also continue inviting them. And that is something that I love that you guys do. Explain that everything that you offer is completely open, the board meetings, etc. That can create that connection and they can feel like, oh, wow, I'm not just a person. I can actually have a say in this organization that I want to learn more about.
Yeah, and I'd agree with that. And I think, you know, feeling part of a movement, that this is something bigger than the individual, but the individual is part of that.
This is tangential, but a way people participate would be having more admins on the Facebook group to carry on some of that conversation for those helpers.
Yep, that's for sure.
But that would, you know, I had something that I was interested in that I wanted to post, and then in the moment, and then it was highly curated, and you did get back to me after a while, and you did, Hildy, and did ask like really great questions, like, oh, like, tell us why you wanted to share that, which was really thoughtful. But by then, like, my moment was long gone, and I wasn't interested in that anymore.
Right. Yeah, I definitely get that down the stream pieces need to be put in place. Absolutely. Somebody had mentioned, I think it was you, Scott, feel part of a movement. What would lead to people feeling part of a movement? If they read the journal, what would lead to them feeling part of something bigger than themselves?
I'll jump in and say partly that's knowing who the participants are, like knowing, you know, how many people are subscribing to the practices. You know, numbers mean things to people. Knowing some of who that audience is means something to people. Not always me, but other people.
What else?
Two, that one thing I discovered in my newsletter, and I'm a person, not a company, but I discovered being vulnerable was really important, and that I wasn't sitting here being the genius from above who had all this wonderful experience and great degrees or whatever, but I was a human being who had run smack dab into some of those issues, and the only way I got to the other side of it was, you know, I mean, I had to come up with something else, but being human and sharing my flaws. I mean, my first book starts out with my business crashed. I lost all my clients, you know, and there I was sitting going, how am I going to earn a living? And, you know, that kind of pulls people in who are, you know, consultants trying to find work.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think that's a really good point. I think that's what I kind of felt after the online course was you kind of felt a little bit dangling at the end of a thread, and you didn't quite know where the lifeline was. And it's a little bit intimidating to put a personal story out to people you don't know. You're throwing it up to someone you don't know. Whereas what I like Beatrice's idea in a way of you, if you get that connection, you make a personal connection back and somehow you build that connection. And that takes time. That's talking, that's going through emails. It's whatever it takes for you to feel that connection with them and to know them a little better. And to me, if you want to be part of a movement, those people generally interact with one another. They're neighbors, they're in their community in some way. You know, if you think of it as, I don't know, some regular feedback mechanism where you're venting and you're getting other people to yes, and you know, they're saying yes, I agree with that, or no, you might want to think about this, but it's this interaction.
Yep.
I think too, there's the demonstration of impact because, you know, if you look at Black Lives Matter and some of those other movements that we have been, it's been a great thing to have, but being able to see that there is an impact allows people to see where they could be part of it.
Yep.
I just want to go back to, it's like, it's already pretty good. So all the suggestions that people, and there's a, it's pretty good already.
It's one of the reasons that we haven't changed it over time, is that the response that we get from folks is, there is not, I can't remember the last time we did a journal that we did not see something in just about everything we're asking. So whether
what,
it is,
What is the open rate typically?
30,
or what do you think?
30-35%.
That's bomb. That's great. That's unbelievable.
And shows you where, you know, we just don't pay attention to it because Peter and Scott were looking at the back end of in the work that they're doing with us and said, you know, you've got a really good open rate. And we said, we
do. That's really good.
Impressive. But do you want to turn that open rate into taking courses or donating or being involved? What is it that you're looking for?
Right. And you know, I mean, at this point, that's another big question that we're asking is what does it make possible for creating the future? And it really is everything. It is. I mean, you know, I hate to say that, but it really is depending on what's going on at that time. Yeah, we'd love to have people take classes, share the newsletter with people, bring people into the fold, bring people into the movement, come to meetings, come to these conversations, be part of, you know, it is movement-like. It is not... you know, Dimitri mentioned earlier, we're not selling something. And even in the social change arena, so many newsletters feel like they're selling something. They want me to donate. They want me to buy whatever they've got. And those are the ones that I unsubscribe from. it's the everything. It is what does it take to build a movement? That's And we see it in anything that they're clicking on at every newsletter. People are doing something, which shows that it's working to some extent. But you know, is it as effective as it could be? What we're clearly saying is no, it could be more effective. Jill, yes.
Thank you. Okay.
She's gonna jump through the screen here. This is awesome.
No, I mean, you know, you're asking, is it effective? Is it doing all this stuff? And I'm thinking, well, what would make it even more effective? If you want a movement, you need more people. And you don't have enough people in whatever process you have right now. I don't know how many you have in your database, but what could you do? If you wanted to double your database in 3 months, what would you do? And then if you wanted to double it again in 3 months, what could you possibly do? And I've asked myself these questions. I had a consultant working with me at once and she insisted, I said, I'd love to grow it. I had 10,000 in my database at that point. And she said, you know, let's set a 3-month goal. And I said, well, it's taken me, you know, a number of years to get to 10,000 in my database. And I'd love to add another 1,000 in 3 months, thinking that that was great. And she said, Jill, not enough. You're thinking too small, because what you're going to do is just do more of what you're doing. You're not going to take a look at what else you might do. And she said, I want you to double your newsletter subscriber rate in 3 months. And I went, holy cow, that's not possible. I mean, and I said, it's not possible. And I went, and then suddenly I realized I had to do something fundamentally differently. And so I started thinking about what else I could do. And I could not spend all my time on social media, et cetera, getting people to come to me. But what I did have is I had assets on my database, on my website. You have assets on your website. You also have the ability to do a conversation or an interview with somebody, and you have the ability to interview somebody. You in this newsletter that you had today, you mentioned somebody has a book. I don't know who it is or what the book's about because I didn't click on it. But what if you interviewed that person and then you asked him or her to share it on their newsletter? Or what if you put together, you reached out to people in different organizations that are similar to yours, don't totally do some things and put together joint projects and say, you know, do you have anything going on? Well, we're doing a webinar on this. And how about if I promote yours and I'll do something in a couple of months and you promote mine? And so what I started doing is going to people with other databases and going, here's, you know, here's what we can do, or I can do this. If you give me, you know, we can draw, or in the middle of, if I'd be doing a webinar, I'd say, oh, you know, I can't go into all this information on how to leverage trigger events, but I have an ebook on my website. Here's the login to go get that ebook on my website. And I drive people back and so, I do a webinar for somebody. I drive them back to my website. They could get this ebook. All of it's for free. I'm giving it away. I have their name. I send them a note and they're now involved in my database. And I have a chance to build a relationship and they see that my material is good and that they love it. And then they feel comfortable with me. And literally I did get to 18,000 in 3 months. By doing that strategy. And it was like, whoa, this is phenomenal, this strategy. And then I started to go work with people who sold to people that I was trying to reach. And I know that sounds weird to say, but there are people who are trying to sell software to foundations. And there are people who are trying to sell things to other people who make decisions. And I said, how about if I do a webinar for you? And then every, you know, we'll have a joint, you can give me, you promote it on your website, you promote it. It's what you're giving your people. And by the way, they did end up paying me to do the webinar and they gave me the database because I'm a marketing tool for them. They can reach out and say, oh, I have Hildy and she has this great webinar on how to pick the right board members. And, you know, sign up, it'll be really good. And they're doing it because they want to show their customers that they're smart and good people. But you could do that, get everybody to come back to your website to download something. And now you've got them in their database and these are the people that you want to reach. And so there are so many things you can do if you don't look at organic growth. If you look at exponential growth and say, if we want to impact people, how can we explode this? How can we get educators? I mean, you know, what if you want to reach educators? Where are they? Who's trying to market to them? Who's an expert in the field that would love to feature you? Who would you love to feature that can talk about something that your people are doing? I would take a look at, oh, I'm sorry. This is what I do. This is how my brain works. But I would take a look at all the people who have written books or have written, you know, or writing books coming up. People that have asked you to write a blurb for their book. If any of that's going on, I mean, any of that. And I would say, let's do something together when you launch your book. And then, by the way, if you write another book besides Pollyanna, they will want to promote it to their people. And so it becomes this nice, wonderful cycle that keeps feeding your database, which allows you to impact more people and to share your expertise and to help more and more and more and more people out there. And you already have assets that may need to be made a little sexier looking, you know, snazzier from a marketing perspective, but they're good assets that you can use and use and use.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. The bifurcating of the conversation to what this will make possible for our readers.
Yeah.
And what it makes possible for us, the growing of the database is huge for us. It definitely does both. And they go together.
Yes.
And they will happen in tandem. At this point, just focusing on what's in the journal, and not the expanding of the people, because that's a whole nother conversation.
It's the same.
It's related. I'm not saying it's not related, but it is after. Let's first figure out what's inside of it. And yes, absolutely, we need to look at who's getting it and increasing who's getting it.
But what I'm also telling you is what's out there can be in it too. You know, so there's all these resources out there.
Absolutely.
That can allow you to keep giving good information that's relevant to your people. without taking up as much time as it takes you to create and manage content all the time. And by the way, sharing with your readers other really good people with good thinking that's aligned with yours, and that builds trust with them. And then you become like the door that opens other good resources, and it increases your trust level because they know you would never recommend something that wasn't good because you have a bar, a quality standard that's so high. So it is part of the content that you have.
Absolutely. To think with. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
I like that, Joe. I like those ideas. It makes a lot of sense.
Thank you.
It's the cross-pollinating.
It pulls it all together.
It's the cross-pollinating of everything.
You don't have to do it all yourself, as you know, and that's part of the enoughness. There's a lot out there. And right now I see you working in this world of what can we do when there's so much. It's what can we offer? It's not what can we do, it's what can we offer that would be of value to our people. And what other resources can we bring in and share with them that would help them on this journey that are good?
Yeah.
Someone had talked about identifying the authors of the content, and that kind of speaks to that, because what you're talking about is bringing in other partners or other organizations who are, you know, synonymous to yours, and they become the author of the next e-journal, right? Or part of it.
They're part of it. Yeah. Or the next event that you promote, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely. I cannot believe we are 5 minutes out from the end. This has been a hugely rich conversation. And I think quite honestly, one of the things that is always fun to me about catalytic thinking is as we work our way backwards from what is the highest potential outcome to what are the conditions that will lead to that outcome, in talking about those conditions, the actions always just become apparent. And the actions of more stories, a million different ways of telling those stories and who's telling those stories, whether it's video, whether it's interview, whether it's podcast, bringing in other voices, noting who the authors are, being very, very mindful of the headline that creates curiosity. All of these are actions. And it didn't come from how will we change the newsletter? Well, here's some things we can do, which is what we usually start. Conversations like this frequently start with brainstorming. But those actions became apparent because they're creating the conditions that will create the outcomes that we want. I would love to open up to each of you, if you could just take a moment, if you took any notes, circle what is standing out to you. Take a deep breath, because this conversation has been rich. And if you could just share any ahas or what is standing out to you from our conversation today. And whoever would like to go first, dive in.
I'll go first because this is my first time and I was new to it, and it was fun to be a part of, and it was a struggle to be a part of because I wasn't, and I know I was told to look at the questions ahead of time, but it didn't work out. And so I'm kind of like, where are we? But it was fun. Thank you.
Absolutely. And it's a good reminder to me to assume that people haven't read stuff and to just do a quick review.
I'm kind of a newbie too. So I also really enjoyed it. I was kind of waiting for, I was looking at my vision planning sheet here. And it seemed like we may have skipped over what's the highest potential for the e-journal. And we started at the four whom. So it was kind of interesting to see it actually go through the iterations. I love that. So I learned, I took a lot of notes, and I just kind of enjoyed being part of that, part of just really this rhythm of catalytic thinking and that process, that new process, you know, using it and seeing how it goes, seeing how people react to it. And it's just kind of fun to watch and enriching.
Really, really glad to be here. Beatrice?
For me, I highlighted it's not about the people, it's about the people, not the position, that we are not categories. And when you were explaining about talking to 300 board members and a person coming to you saying, oh, this is about parenting. For me, being able to read what Creating the Future is offering and be able to put it into the many different layers that a person is, that is what really, really stuck with me from this conversation.
Wow. Thank you. Really, really glad you were here. Thank you. Who else? What is standing out to you from our
conversation? I just thought it was a great conversation, a lot of great input, and so much potential. I circled ripple effect because I feel like it is relevant in so many aspects of this. I mean, as far as the potential for it, it could be a catchy name as well.
There we go. I loved the fact that how many of you said, don't call it e-journal, don't call it newsletter. And Scott has been at me to say, so what do we want to call this thing? I was like, yeah, I've not thought of that. And then three of you, I think, said, no, don't name it something, please. So I'm happy that you caught that. Elaine, what's standing out to you from our conversation?
What's standing out for me, and this might seem kind of, I don't know, you might think I'm being too sentimental, but to be able to come to this conversation, I am very excited. I thought people were excited, and I think that people are willing to give and share. That's a lot of love. So that's a lot of love for you and for Creating the Future. And I love how you bring us back to the catalytic thinking framework. I love that. So great.
So glad to meet in person, as in person as this is. I'm so grateful you were here. And so grateful you were able to manage the technology and be here. Thank you. How about you, Amanda? What's standing out to you?
Thank you for inviting me. Just at the end, what Jill was saying about going from organic growth to exponential growth was, and what would that make possible?
Yeah. It's huge. Yeah. And given your position and the stuff that you're doing, I love the fact that there's always multi-layers of people learning in these conversations and what we can bring to other parties.
Right, it's a lot easier for me to tell you what you ought to do instead compared to the aspirations of what I would like to do with our newsletter.
yep, there you go. Dimitri, I will mute over here.
Reflecting on a couple of things, one, trust. And that the meeting reflects trust, that everyone in this meeting, at least to me, it seemed felt very comfortable being vulnerable and revealing themselves and you know what they want and where they want to go. I also had a quick comment on the name. Many years ago, I think we're coming up on 20 years now, we started a diaper bank here in Tucson, the first one in the country. And we had a newsletter, and in terms of titles, you know, what we called it the poop sheet. And it clearly resonated with a lot of people for the reasons we're talking about. And I was just reflecting on, you know, what are we gonna call this? Well, we could call it the poop sheet. Now we're not gonna call it, so.
Those were the days. Those were the days. I am just reflecting on my gratitude to all of you for sharing your wisdom, your experience, your insights, your caring, your passion. And there is so much to unpack. I am looking forward to rewatching this when I'm not facilitating it, and to be able to absorb and I deeply, deeply appreciate all of you. This has been really, really rich, and there's a lot in it. So thank you, and till next time. Bye bye, everyone. Thank you.
Nice to meet you all.
Yes, you too. Bye.